Hello, and welcome to Academy Conversations Uncut, a podcast of rare Q&As with the world's foremost filmmakers, hosted by the Academy and released for the first time to the public, unedited. Today's panel was recorded in November 2018 at the Samuel Goldwyn Theater in Beverly Hills, California, discussing the Academy Award-winning movie, The Favorite, a Black comedy set in the early 18th century court of Queen Anne and the battle for her affections between Sarah, the Duchess of Marlborough, and her impoverished cousin Abigail. We were joined by director Yorgos Lanthimos, actors Emma Stone, Rachel Weisz, and Nicholas Hoult, and producers Ed Gainey and Cece Dempsey. The panel was hosted by Rebecca Keegan. Here's Rebecca.
Good evening. I'm Rebecca Keegan from The Hollywood Reporter, and I am delighted to be able to introduce to you some of the people who made The Favorite. Please help me welcome producer Cece Dempsey, producer Ed Gainey, actor Nicholas Hoult, Rachel Weisz, Emma Stone, and director Yorgos Lanthimos. Yorgos, usually when directors make a period film, their actors and their department heads are asked to really steep themselves in the history, go for authenticity. I understand you instructed your cast and crew to do the opposite and sort of let go of the expectations of the period. Is that right? And if so, why?
Yes, I think. I'm not sure if I instructed them, but I encouraged a different approach, I think. And it mostly happened not through conversation, but we had a rehearsal period that lasted for three weeks, and I think during that period I tried to instill a different kind of approaching their performance, the text, how they saw each other, how they saw the film itself.
Rachel, what went on in that rehearsal period? What kind of things did you do?
Am I allowed to say?
Of course. It's been told many times.
It was more like a rehearsal for a play, in that we were a company of actors. It was the court of Queen Anne, three women, three men. And we played kind of games where we spoke the text whilst following certain rules that Yorgos gave us, a physical game, which took your mind off the line. So it was about 3 weeks of getting to know each other, getting to know the words, getting to know each other's words, but not ever doing any acting. We didn't say the words with as the characters with emotion.
Cece, the story of this movie actually starts quite some time ago. This script came across your desk many years ago. Can you tell how it came to you and why it was so challenging to get it made?
Oh God, how much time have you got? It came to me completely out of the blue by someone who'd never written anything before in their life. And she'd found this story and she'd researched it and found the letters between Queen Anne and the Duchess of Marlborough, and Abigail, I think, was involved as well. And it was just one of those stories that wouldn't quit. And, you know, it's a fantastic story of betrayal and survival. And heightened, of course, because it was all taking place in the world stage and it's a true story. And I think part of the problem, well, there were a number of sort of obstacles, not least of which period films were not very popular back then at all. They were sort of tainted, nobody wanted to go near them. Plus, there was sort of the same sexuality that was going through it. And I think a lot of these financiers were not moralizing about it. They just thought, we don't have a demographic for that, so we're not going to go near it. Anyway, that's kind of what some of the challenges were.
Ed, you were not daunted by it, and it was you, I believe, who thought that Yorgos was the right person for this. Can you explain why?
Well, I don't want to take credit for that. Actually, I think all of us were, I mean, we had this project, which was a period drama. I think we had an instinct that we wanted to do something a bit unusual, a bit different with it. And I think it might have been my colleague Lee who met Yorgos. I'm not exactly sure who met who when, but Dogtooth was out at that time and we were all really struck by it. It was a brilliant film. And Yorgos responded to the notion of it, read the script and joined it. And that was 10 years ago. So I think you started 20 years ago. We joined 10 years ago. We met you probably 9 years ago or something like that. So yeah, it's been quite a while.
Emma, one of the things that, one of the many things that's unusual about this is when I think about female roles in period films, I think of someone sitting in a drawing room doing needlepoint. And this is a really physical part. I mean, you're firing these big weird guns and riding horses and fighting. Can you talk a little bit about the physicality of the role, whether you blocked these things, how that all unfolded?
Some of it we certainly blocked. I mean, anything that was kind of stunty was pretty protected and, you know, traditional in that sense. And the fight in the woods with Joe was pretty choreographed because that, you know, on specific lines, we were doing specific things to each other. But yeah, no, it was all very safe, but yeah, it was very physical. There was a lot of, you know, hitting myself in the face or slapping, biting, you know,
all the good stuff. How do you hit yourself in the face?
How?
Yeah.
Movie like, magic with a book. Gave myself a real nosebleed because I'm so committed.
Oh, wow.
Just kidding. That was a joke. I didn't really.
Nicholas, it's also kind of fun for once to be able to ask the male actor about working in heels and wigs and rouge. So tell us how your costume and your hair and makeup informed your performance.
Well, I mean, they always do, but obviously when you put on costumes like that Sandy designed and the wigs were big and Nadia's costume design, it's just something that transforms you and then you have to kind of step up to the plate with those things. The fairly uncomfortable heels at times for me. Quite a big guy to be wearing those. but it was just wonderful. I mean, Tony's writing was such fun. And then to put it in that environment with the freedom that Yorgos gave us, through that rehearsal period and how he, the environment he creates, it was a great experience. Yeah.
Yeah. The language in the script is great. It's so beautifully written. I mean, any of the three actors, if you could talk a little bit about the dialogue, was it difficult to learn? Was there a sort of tempo you were going for? Rachel.
I think by the end of this 3 week rehearsal period, we kind of knew all our lines and each other's lines. We just said them all so many times. But no, we weren't going for anything in terms of rhythm or we just over to you.
We just
what did we
felt? We felt it in the moment.
In the moment. And we just did it.
We worked with each other.
It just happened.
And it just happened.
Just like that.
Emma, you're the two other women you're working with had worked with Yorgos before. Olivia Colman and Rachel had worked with Yorgos. You were sort of the newcomer in the trio. Did you beforehand get any sort of tips or advice about what this experience might be like or how to prepare?
No. I mean, no. Yeah, we talked about it, but there was no...
He's unexplainable, really. So, yeah.
But also, I was lucky because I had met Yorgos, I mean, almost 2 years before we started filming. So we had had, like, we'd had dinner a couple of times. I felt like I was comfortable with him. And then getting to know Rachel and Olivia through the kind of rehearsal process when I, you know, was able to spend more time with them. It all felt very comfortable and warm and, but no, there's no real prep to the Yorgos process.
Yorgos, one of the things that's unusual.
In
is
a good way.
In a good
because
way.
Because it's nothing unusual.
Nothing.
That's no,
nothing.
It's very normal.
The way you shot it is unusual. Can you talk a little bit about the decisions you made about lenses and camera?
Oh, who cares about lenses? They're gonna
this
be
room.
Bored.
This room cares.
Poor people. Well, it's mainly something that I've been experimenting with. I think my last few films, it's something that I enjoy. And in particular, in this film, I thought that the use of wide-angle lenses in these huge spaces with these very few people in them, the juxtaposition of the lone figure in the huge space and how the space was even distorted, it felt quite claustrophobic. In general, it kind of reflected, you know, a lot of the dynamic in the film and the themes of the film. And the juxtaposition of those wide shots with extreme close-ups of the actors, that kind of clash was also quite interesting. And the combination of the movement, which connected the various characters, and we wouldn't all the time cut from the one to the other. The fact that the space connected them and the wide-angle lens kind of enhanced that, because as you move the camera, the whole room changes and the perspective changes. Those are some of the reasons why I felt like it was fitting for this film.
It also looks like mostly natural light throughout, maybe some candles. Can you talk a little bit about lighting it?
A lot of candles. It was all done with natural light, except a couple of scenes out in the forest when there are no candles. So we had to have a couple of lights. But apart from that, it was daylight and natural light or candlelight. And it was a little bit challenging, especially the candlelight, because it was huge spaces and there was a restriction because we're shooting in these old houses, these historic houses that, of course, need to be protected, and there was only a certain amount of candles that you can light in them. They have to be at a certain distance from the tapestries and the walls so you don't set the place on fire. So there was a lot of that, but I you know, we insisted on doing it that way, and I think it worked.
Cece, one of the really fun scenes in the movie is the duck race, which I understand wasn't originally intended to be in the film. Can you talk about what that originally was going to be and why it evolved?
Jorgos, you want to participate in this? It was supposed to be a cockfight. And of course, we went through all sorts of traumas and tragedies with our animal wrangler, who said it's illegal, you can't even mock one up, I can't do it. And it went on like this for weeks, months, whatever, and you finally accepted this after much discussion, and came back with Tony and had come up with a duck race instead, which is sort of, I think, a very enlightened compromise, I think I might say.
The duck ultimately gets a lot of screen time. He really, yeah. he comes back.
That duck was a girl named Jessica.
How are the bunnies to work with while we're on the animal kingdom?
Stunning. Surprising. Always doing something you can't, you know. You never know what to expect. Unforgettable. Yeah.
Unforgettable.
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 Yeah.
Yorgos, do you think that there's any way in which the fact that you are not English made it so that you were a little freed up to treat this story with a little irreverence?
Oh, for sure. But I think I've treated Greek stories with irreverence as well. So I don't think, it would have changed much for me. But I guess if a British person would do that, probably it wouldn't be the same. But it does help, I think, because very early on, it wasn't even a struggle to decide the fact that we were going to approach this with a lot of freedom and take liberties with the story, with the characters, with various visual elements that we use in the film, or sound, or how we use dialogue. It was decided very early on that we didn't want to follow a traditional route and just infuse the film with a lot of more contemporary elements and take liberties that would enable us to make a film that felt complete and compelling and create characters that felt complex and complicated, no matter if, you know, every detail about them was true or not.
It does feel really contemporary, and I wonder if, was that part of why you wanted to take it on?
I think the story itself felt relevant, but I think it has to do also with how you approach it in order to make it feel modern and contemporary. So it's a combination of the two.
What do you think, Emma? Do you feel any sort of contemporary relevance with these three female characters?
Three complicated, layered, beautiful, fierce, cruel, exciting, funny women? Yes.
Yeah.
I do. I think that it was an unbelievable thing to see a script and a director so passionate about bringing that to life that was about three women who are so fully formed and fantastic. They aren't just strong, which Rachel has talked about that a lot, strong females. They're also, not to take these out of your mouth, you should say it, fragile and so many other things. They're beautifully written. And yes, I think that if that's contemporary, then, which I hope it is, then yes.
And funny, very funny. Well, thank you all very much for being here, and thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Academy Conversations Uncut. We hope you enjoyed this unique access to a members-only Q&A at the Academy. Be sure to like, share, and subscribe, and help us reach film lovers around the world. This podcast was produced by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences.